We've been looking at words over these past several weeks that churches and Christians tend to avoid, that they seem to be walking away from or shying away from certain words that just really aren't very popular, that are awkward at times, that are uncomfortable. Because a lot of times we find these words too convicting to ourselves and even to our culture. So far we've tackled the uncomfortableness of fear and hell. And last week we looked at obey. Today we look at another H word. And the word that we're going to dive in today is the word holy. It was Eugene Peterson who once said, "In our kind of culture, there is a great market for religious experience in our world, but there is very little enthusiasm for the patient accusation for what earlier generations of Christians called holiness." So here's what I hope that you'll get from our time together today. That Christians must pursue holiness instead of retreating from it. That we must pursue holiness instead of retreating from it. Today we're going to look, our main passage will be 1 Peter. And this is what Peter says in chapter 1, verse 14. "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy, because I am holy.'" So I've organized this message into three different sections. And the first truth I want you to know is this. God is holy. Any discussion about holiness doesn't just come out of thin air. It's actually rooted in the very fact that God is holy, that he is the actual standard of holiness that we strive to, that we talk about, that we try to live out. In Genesis, we read about Adam and Eve and how everything was perfect there in the garden until they chose to disobey God. See, when they sinned, they immediately tried to hide themselves from God, because that's what sin does. Sin always makes us feel awkward when we are in the presence of holiness. And we've all experienced that when we've sinned. It's just that there's that awkwardness, there's that guilt that you think you can't go into God's presence. And that is really coming from the fact of understanding that it can be very awkward and uncomfortable to come into the presence of holiness, knowing what maybe we've done, or what we said, or what we thought. There are so many references in the entire Bible about holiness, all the way from the very beginning of the Bible, all the way to the very end. And there are numerous references about that. Luke 1 says, "So the Holy One to be called will be called the Son of God." In Luke chapter 4, as Jesus is healing a man from demon possession, the demons say this, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." So even the demons understand and realize and can recognize God's holiness. Do you remember when Jesus stepped up the commitment teaching? He just fed the 5,000. Crowds were following him in order to get a free meal and a free show. So Jesus raised the bar when it came to the standard of being one of his true followers. And when he did that, you know what happened? Thousands left him. And as he saw that, he turned to his disciples in John 6. This is what we see. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and said, "Are you also going to leave?" Simon Peter replied, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe, and we know you are the Holy One of God. See, when Christ came to earth, he became the physical representation of God the Father. And he set the example for us, angels, demons, disciples, all have recognized that God the Father's holiness is displayed in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So I want you to understand that it's his nature to be holy. So why was it so important for the prophets and different Psalms to remind people continually that God is holy? Well, it's because it's the foundation of our faith. If our God had just one sin upon him, then all of our faith crumbles to the ground. Because our faith is based on the fact that he is sinless and we acknowledge our sinfulness. There's this encounter that Isaiah has with God. And he's right there in God's presence. And it's so interesting because he doesn't go on and on and on and saying all these different things or describing what he's seeing or describing heaven or whatever. This is what he writes. He says, I am a man of unclean lips. So why does he do that? Because the thing is, when sinfulness is in the presence of sinlessness, it stands out like a sore thumb. Our impurities, our sin, our disobedience, it stands out. And we realize and we recognize in those moments that God is pure and holy. See, Isaiah was a good man. He was a prophet of God. But when he has this encounter with God, the first characteristic that impressed him first was God's holiness. See, the contrast between God's holiness and Isaiah's own sinfulness was overwhelming for Isaiah. And we see holiness being talked about throughout the whole entire Bible, right from the very beginning into the very end. In Exodus 15, we read this, who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. And we see in Revelation 15, we say, who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. So the Bible has this bookend of God's holiness. We see it at the very beginning, we see it all the way at the very end, and everywhere in between. Is it any wonder that holiness is the anthem of heaven? So God is holy. The next truth that we can gain from this is that God commands us to be holy. See, all throughout 1 Peter, Peter talks about our holiness that is based on the fact that God is holy. And if we're going to be his people, his followers, his disciples, then we should look and act like him. Peter says in verse 15, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. See, not only is God holy, but he has bought us for a price, the death of his only holy Son. And we should not, because of that, we should not live empty lives chasing the things of this world when we have been bought with this eternal price. But when it comes to holiness, our tendency is more to sing about it than we want to talk about it or live it out in our own lives. If we were completely transparent, there are many of us that wouldn't want holy as a descriptor of us. We are merely a Christian in name only, rather than action. So to them, holy is just a four-letter word to be avoided because it carries these negative connotations because they don't want to be labeled. They don't want to be labeled, oh, you're one of those holy rollers. Or labeled as, well, you're holier than thou. But just because those phrases contain the word holy, those phrases are very far from the biblical meaning of holy. So a good working definition is this. A biblical understanding is holiness is to be separate from evil and set apart for God. Holiness is to be separate from evil and set apart for God. 1 Thessalonians 5, we read this message about that we need to avoid every kind of evil. So we separate from evil, and then we move in the direction of godliness, and we see ourselves and our actions being set apart, that we have a higher calling, not a holier-than-thou sense, but in hopes of actually pointing people to Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7, he says, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence of God. I just want to stop you there for a moment, and I want you to just think about that for a second, that verse. Let me just read it again. Dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. What is the Spirit telling you or revealing to you from that verse? It's a question I want you to think about with that verse in your mind. What do you need to purify yourself from today, this moment, that could contaminate you and to keep you from holiness? So what is it in your life right now, in this moment, that's contaminating your body and contaminating your spirit? And they're contaminating your body and your spirit and your mind in such a way that's actually keeping you from pursuing holiness. What is that for you? Is it a bad habit? Is it a pattern of behavior? Is it an attitude that you need to overcome and give over to God? I don't know. Is it a screw-up in the past and you just can't get over it? And you defined yourself because of that one decision, that one mistake you made. So what do you need to purify yourself from here this morning? And as you think about that, what's in your life, usually there's a statement that comes with those things, those habits, those behaviors, those attitudes. When you're about to do it, there's usually the statement that you're thinking about before you actually go and do it. Well, I probably shouldn't. You know, I probably shouldn't take that next drink. I probably shouldn't, you know, take that next puff. I probably shouldn't go to that website. I probably shouldn't be thinking about that way about that person. Whatever it is for you, we probably think about that. But what you need to understand, that statement, that I probably shouldn't, that's God's Spirit. That is the Spirit of God that is whispering to you, that is nudging you, that is guiding you into truth. And if you continue to ignore it, you'll eventually quench it until you don't know the whisper of God anymore in your life. And in time, because of that, you will just begin to question the existence of God Himself. So don't ignore that probably shouldn't. That's not you speaking. That is the Spirit of God that is whispering to you, that is desiring you to stop in your tracks from whatever you're about to do. Because He knows that it will prevent you from pursuing holiness. It will contaminate your body and your spirit. And because of that, you'll just start to retreat from holiness. And at some point down the line, if you continue to ignore it, you're going to start to question. Like, seriously question God and His existence and everything that comes with Him. You see, for some, there isn't even an attempt to being different and distinctive in their lifestyle. But a holy person doesn't isolate themselves. They understand the idea and the concept of what it means to be holy. Holy people are not the ones that have no contact with the outside world, that have no contact with those who are not Christians or believers. On the contrary, the holy person is actually in the midst of the setting. And they're trying to make goodness and holiness attractive to other people. If we aren't called to stay away from God out of fear of not being perfect, but we are called to make certain that we are with people so that they can tell that there is something distinctive about us. We are called to approach God and receive forgiveness. And because of that, it enables us to be holy and to fulfill our purpose. That's holiness. Holiness isn't coming to church. Holiness is not staying in your home. Holiness is not going to Bible study or life group or prayer meeting or getting involved in all this different stuff in the church or in our community. That's not what makes you holy. That's what might make you have a holier-than-thou attitude, but that's not holiness. Holiness is you in the midst of people and living a distinctive life from the rest of them. And you're going to live a life in such a way that's going to gain attention. And people are going to start to ask questions. That's what holiness is about. See, coming to church doesn't make one holy anymore. Going to a hospital makes someone a doctor. Yet today in our culture, people will try and fashion God into whatever they want Him to be. If they choose to live in a way that's contrary to what God says in the Bible, the fallback position is always, and I hear this constantly when I have conversations with people or challenge them in certain thinking. Well, God's a God of love. So there, what do you say about that? I hear that a lot. Well, God's a God of love. I can do whatever I want. He's still going to love me. He loves everyone. He loves everything. So you know what? Whatever I'm doing, He's going to get over it. He'll understand. Besides, it's His job to forgive me. But that's the wrong mentality. It's the wrong thinking. Because it's not true. May I point out to you that the song of heaven is not love, love, love. Is the Lord Almighty. That's not what it says. Instead, heaven's anthem, every time we see a glimpse of heaven, whether it's in Isaiah or in Revelation, we hear, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Don't misunderstand me. Of course, God is a God of love. But the attribute to define God throughout the whole entire Bible, more than every other attributes that are actually all added up together, is holiness. We see God being described as holy more than any other attribute combined. He asks us and commands us to move towards holiness. So don't be cavalier about all this. This is really serious stuff, this idea of us pursuing holiness and not retreating from it. The author of Hebrews says this in chapter 10, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Does that get your attention? It's another reason to run towards holiness and not retreat from it. So God is a holy God. And our holy God commands us to be holy. And lastly, God helps us become holy. He helps us become holy. In 1 Peter, back in 1 Peter, verse 23, we read this. For you have been born again through the living and enduring word of God. So God's word shows us the way to holiness, to the lifestyle of salvation. The Bible reminds us who we are and who it is that has called us. Paul says in Ephesians 1, he says, for he, God, chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So God chose you so that you would be holy. And what you need to understand is God never gives out an expectation without equipping us so we can accomplish it. So there's no point in saying, well, you know what, Bill, here, that command of me to be holy, that's far-fetching. It's not. Everything that God asks us to do, we can accomplish it because he will equip us with what we need to accomplish it. It's up to us to receive it and to fulfill it. Peter continues his line of thinking to chapter 2, and he says that the goal of our being holy is so that people will see God through our lives and glorify him. So it's not just for the sake of, well, I'll be holy just for the sake of being holy. We're holy in order to point to our holy God. Is your life, the way it's being lived out, is it pointing other people to a holy God? Or is it the way that you're living? Are you pointing people to an angry God? A judgmental God? A jealous God? A condemning God? See, we've been set apart. That's what holy means. We've been set apart for God's purpose. So that as we live our lives for God, it will point people to God. But the thing is, we need to want it and pursue it. It's there for us, but it's up to you if you actually want to live a life of holiness and to pursue it. I'm telling you, there's so many blessings if you do. Way more blessings if you do. We gain by establishing how holy God is. And I think our problem is that we've actually chosen the wrong role models in our society. And in reality, you just go into any grocery store checkout line and you see the magazine rack. That's where we're choosing our role models, from that magazine rack in the checkout line. And God is saying to us, but I'm holy. Follow me so you can be holy. So I guess the question is, who are you following right now? Who are you imitating in your life right now? And I think as a society, we're choosing the wrong role models. Oftentimes when we pick our heroes and our role models and we want to be like them, why is it? Why do we want to be like certain people? Well, usually because they have money. Or they have status. Or they have talent. Or they have a lot of material things. And God is here, standing here, telling us, and says that he wants you to be holy, as I am. Imitate me. Follow me. Allow me to be your role model. God has called every Christian to a holy life. And the message of the Bible, it leads forth with incredible clarity. Paul says in the second chapter, verse 5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. See, when we come to Jesus to be used for his glory, it doesn't say that we have to act holy. God says he will help you become holy and will work in your life. The interesting thing is that over 100 years ago, if you read books from 100 years ago or articles from like 100 years ago, there was an actual desire in society and in the culture for personal holiness. Just about 100 years ago, not far, not long ago. And now today, it's all about our personal happiness. That's the difference. Today, we want to be happy. We don't want to be holy. So we pursue all these things in the world, only to find out at the end, they don't truly bring joy or happiness to us. And we realize all along, had we pursued holiness, that we would probably also find happiness. See, we're not going to find holiness with the pursuit of happiness. It's never going to go that way. If you are on a pursuit of happiness, I'm afraid to tell you, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed. However, if you have a pursuit of holiness, man, you're going to be in awe all the time. People say all the time, well, I can't hear from God. I try. It doesn't make sense, and it doesn't sound like he's really doing much. If that's you, well, my question, my challenge to you is, well, have you opened up God's Word? Have you opened up the Bible? Have you prayed? Have you talked to other Christians? Are you listening for those promptings? The thing is that we can become so steeped in our own selfishness and sinful agenda that we just disregard God's Word. And we think in our life and in those moments that God is silent, when really it's that we don't want to hear what he has to say. Because really, and truthfully, our mind has already been made up of what we think what will make us happy. Down deep, most people realize that there is a benefit to a holy living, but they're just not willing to halt that habit or part with that pattern of behavior. Is there a rut that you need to get out of today? And the only way out is by turning towards holiness and by the power of the Spirit. But you have to invite him in first. And you have to be willing to change. If you're not willing to invite him into your life, if you're not willing to change, you're going to stay in that rut. I love the account in the gospel where Jesus approaches a man who's been lame for pretty much his whole life and is outside the temple begging. And he asks this man a question before he heals him. Remember what he asks him? Remember what he asked this man before he heals him? He says this, do you want to get well? He asks this man, who's been lame for pretty much his whole life, he's asking for a healing, and he asks him, well, do you really want to get well? And we look at that and we think, well, that's a really strange question to ask. Of course he wants to get well. Not really a strange question. If you think about it. See, the thing is, Jesus knows human nature. He says, do you want to get well for a reason? In other words, this is what Jesus meant and was really truly asking. Do you want a change in your life? Or have you become so satisfied, so accustomed to the routine of sitting and begging that you don't want to be free to run and jump? And he's right. Sometimes we just settle into our bad habits and it becomes normal and it becomes routine. Because you are stuck in a rut or you have retreated from holiness instead of pursuing it. See, the best display of God's holiness is the cross of Calvary. It's where we receive Christ's forgiveness, making holiness actually possible. The author of Hebrews says this, and by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So Christians must pursue holiness. And maybe the most exciting truth about holiness is that God doesn't give us this large task to accomplish all on our own. Instead, he says, I'll come with you. I'll walk beside you. I'll live inside of you. I'll help you and I'll enable you to grow in holiness. See, he molds us into his image. And the more holy you become, the more you look like Christ. The thing is, you don't have to do this on your own. So my challenge is stop trying. The power of the Spirit of God in us makes us more and more holy. And how you live and who you put your trust in determines whether or not, if you look forward and anticipate the return of Jesus Christ, or whether you dread the day of judgment. If you begin to pursue holiness now, on earth, today, you will discover in the process that repentance isn't a bad word. In fact, it can be life-giving. So pursuing holiness is not a burden. In fact, it's a great privilege. So what are you going to do today? Are you going to be one where your life is defined and marked by one that pursues holiness? Or are you going to be one that's defined by one that retreats from holiness? Let's pray.